Welcome to the June issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We published 4 research papers and 2 engineering reports in this month's issue, along with a feature article on studio acoustical design. Zhang Ma and colleagues from Queen Mary in London present a study of intelligent multi-track dynamic range compression. The aim of such algorithms is to produce an optimal amount of compression for multi-track recordings, and the authors based their model on the results of subjective evaluations by expert listeners. Results suggested that the algorithm could compete with or outperform semi-professional mixes in terms of various evaluation factors, including overall listener preference. The separation between direct and reflected sounds in multi-channel sound reproduction was studied by Piotr Klikowski and his colleagues. They set out to test the assumption that reproducing these elements of spatial audio through separate loudspeakers might improve perceived quality. Using a number of 5.0 and 7.0 configurations, it was indeed found that listeners preferred the schemes involving separation. Moving to a different field of audio engineering, we hear from Grazina Korvel and her colleagues about a modified additive synthesis method that uses a source filter model. The reason for doing this was that the results can be perceived as less synthetic than additive synthesis on its own, and is partially because real sources consist of both harmonics and inharmonics in their spectrum. By segmenting the frequency range into bands, each of which contains only a single harmonic with inharmonics, a more complex, quasi-polynomial filter can be implemented, whose input is periodic pulses with time-varying amplitudes and slightly varying periods. In the field of audio forensics, the authentication of audio evidence is an important requirement. Rodrigo Tavora and Francisco Nascimento describe the detection of replicated audio events within a single piece of evidence using an adaptive audio fingerprinting scheme. They look at several different fingerprinting schemes, settling on one that is based on Fourier spectrum distribution, adjusted to detect short replicas. The method was found to be able to discriminate between genuine repeated speech and audio replicas as short as 1/10 of a second, even in the presence of distortions. The first of our 2 engineering reports tackles the subject of magnet-only loudspeaker motors. In such a system, all of the nonlinear soft iron pieces are removed, and the magnetic field is created using a combination of permanent magnets. A standard 6.5-inch loudspeaker was reconstructed using this technology and compared with the original version, showing a marked reduction in the variation of voice coil resistance and inductance with current, displacement, and frequency. In the final report, Raja Ghozi and her colleagues from Tunisia look into the perception of soundscapes, in this case based on a campus restaurant environment. The authors studied listener responses to the soundscape as the restaurant went from empty to full occupancy, investigating factors such as the level of auditory attention, soundscape complexity, and the ease of carrying on a discussion. A number of objective metrics were also studied based on the entropy of the signals concerned. In a rare letter to the editor, John Woodgate raises the question of near-field immunity tests for electromagnetic compatibility, outlining the existence of a new method for dealing with this that is currently going through standardization. He offers a draft to the community because he suggests that manufacturers will not want to wait the length of time that international standardization can take, without promising that the offered version will be identical to that which will eventually be standardized. This month's feature article goes into studio acoustical design, based on 2 workshops from a recent AES convention. A panel led by Mark Gander looked at the evolution of fashions in control room acoustics from around 1960 to the present day, considering trends such as the live-end, dead-end design and the non-environment room. A second panel, led by Mike Wells, aimed to help those starting out in the business to find their way in choosing a good acoustic space among the many offerings available at different prices. In standards, we bring news of various developments in digital interfaces, file exchange, and networking. There are various revisions and liaisons in progress relating to the standard 2-channel and multi-channel interfaces, as well as a liaison project with IEC on the broadcast wave format, and with IEC and MPEG on audio networking. There are a couple of book reviews, one on Charles Alden's History of Magnetic Media Production at 3M, a book that was eventually assembled for publication by the late Del Eilers and his wife Karen, The Unidyne story is also mentioned briefly, being a history of the development of Shure's iconic microphone design. Finally, we publish a call for contributions to the well-established Audio for Games conference, taking place early next year in London. Papers chair Damian Murphy is looking for paper proposals that emphasize the strongly interdisciplinary nature of the field by October 1st of this year. All this, plus our regular news section in the June issue of the AES Journal, available for download now at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.